Etat.
This.
Dwaraha. Whose door? He. Indeed. Sangsaraha. A material existence in which one suffers threefold miseries. Guna karma nibandhanaha. Captivation by the three modes of material nature. Ajnana mulaha. Whose root is ignorance. Apartaha. Without factual meaning. Api. Even. Pumsaha, of the living entity. Swapnaha, a dream. Eva, like. Arpyate, is placed. Translation, through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers, material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. So you can repeat, through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature. And thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers. Material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai. The unwanted condition of temporary life is called ignorance. One can very easily understand that the material body is temporary, for it is generated at a certain date and ends at a certain date, after undergoing the six kinds of change, namely birth, death, growth, maintenance, transformation, and dwindling. So transformation usually is translated as a byproduct. So that's how we understand, you know, like give up byproducts. Anyway, this condition of the eternal soul is due to his ignorance. And although it is temporary, it is unwanted. Because of ignorance, one is put into temporary bodies one after another. The spirit soul, however, does not need to enter such temporary bodies. He does so only due to his ignorance or his forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, in the human form of life, when one's intelligence is developed, one should change his consciousness by trying to understand Krishna. Then one can be liberated. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the 4th chapter, text 9, where the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvataha, tatva deham puna janma, naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Unless one understands Krishna and comes to Krishna consciousness, one must continue in material bondage. To end this conditional life, one must surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, that is demanded by the Supreme Lord Sarva Dharmam Paricchaya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. As advised by Maharaj Shavadevat, Nasadu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshida Ashadeha. The first part of the verse is Nunam Brahmata Kulite Vikarma Yadindriya Prita Pritya Aprinoti. That's the first part of that verse, which I'll describe. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long as one has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, if by good association, by the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life of material existence is vanquished. And his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is revived. When one is Krishna conscious, he can realize that material existence, whether one is awake or dreaming, is nothing but a dream and has no factual value. This realization is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord. This grace is also present in the form of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities to awaken the foolish living entity, especially in human society, so that he may come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and benefit by liberation from conditional life. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya cites the following verse. Dukkha rupaopi samsaro buddhi purvam avapyate yathaswapne shirascheidam swayam kritvatmano vatsaha tato dukkham avapyate tata jagaritopi tu jananapyatmano dukkham avashastu pravartate. One must realize that the material condition of life is full of distresses. One can realize this with purified intelligence. When one's intelligence is purified, he can understand that unwanted temporary material life is just like a dream. Just as one suffers pain when his head is cut off in a dream, in ignorance one suffers not only while dreaming, but also while awake. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one continues in ignorance and is thus subjected to material distresses in various ways. So, etad dvaro hi samsaro guna karma nibandhanaha yanamulo partope humsa swapna ivarpyate. So, om maganatya madandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuran meditam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this particular metaphor, or actually if you say like, it's an analogy, but any, that life is like a dream, is used quite often by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said we have a dream while we're awake, and that dream, he said, lasts for, you know, utmost 100 years. And then we have a dream while we're asleep, which lasts for maybe 20 minutes. You know, during the, what the scientists say, or the sleep analysis say, is the rapid eye movements, the REM movements. And so, and many times we're attached to the night dreams, too. And I had one interesting dream last night. It was not Krishna conscious, and I can relate it. This is just before I woke up, because we have all these impressions. That's what causes the night dreams, you know, whatever we come in touch with during the day. That's why it's also important that we try to be as Krishna conscious as possible and avoid mundane things. Of course, we should be aware of the news. So, but not too much. It's not that we become news advocates. Just like I was speaking to my mother, and she listens to the stock market all day long. You know, there's this, I guess not a ticker tape, but it's what stocks are going up, what stocks are going down. I said, why are you wasting your human form of life and doing this? And she says, I have to be aware. I said, just putting you in anxiety. She said, I know, but I have to be aware. So so I'm sure she's dreaming of the stock market, her different stocks, like, you know, whatever stocks she has. So, you know, sometimes I read the news, so one thing that impressed me when I read the news, you know, just a mundane thing, it just shows how we can be in Maya, using my own example. As I read about this person in Mexico, which I mentioned before, Guzman, who escaped from prison. So in a dream I had last night, I was helping him escape from prison. And it just shows how much illusion, I'm just trying to illustrate the point. And so we're helping him, we're going through the tunnel and everything like that. And then we get out, and the first thing he does is we all go to worship Ganesh. You know, so you're putting, like Prabhupada said, you have gold, I'm illustrating the point that Prabhupada said, you have gold and you have a mountain and you put them together and you get a gold mountain. You understand? So gold exists, mountain exists, but, you know, we really haven't experienced a gold mountain in waking life. If I had, I wouldn't be here. So, so here was I and this Mexican, you know, whatever he was, worshipping Ganesh. and there are devotees around us. And I was thinking, boy, in Mexico, and everybody's wearing dhotis and kurtas and Brahmins, and they're worshiping Ganesh. I said, this is very interesting. I didn't realize this. You know, so this is all going on in my dream. And then finally, you know, we all get in the car and make an escape. So the point is, it was all Maya. Because when I woke up, you know, this is when I woke up in the morning, this is the last dream. Because that's what you remember your dreams when your dream is interrupted and you wake up at a particular point. Generally, we're having so many dreams at night that we don't even remember. You know, so somehow or other we do remember certain dreams, like I said. And then I woke up and said, boy, that was interesting. Why do I have to wake up? You know, I'm going to Mangalarti. So, you know, it's just like the news. It was, you know, Technicolor, 3D, virtual reality, all those things that the scientists are trying to put together through technology. So then I realized that my identification with this body, that helped me realize that, that the identification with this body and the pains and pleasures and everything like that and the anxieties and everything like that is all, except in Krishna consciousness, the anxieties are not illusion. They're actually service. You know, I was thinking, those things which I accept for Krishna, even though they're temporary, they're purifying. Like Prabhupada would say sometimes that when Tamal Krishnamurti said, you know, I'm so much anxiety, I can't hear my rounds, and Prabhupada said, me too. And but Prabhupada didn't say we should renounce those things. It's just, it's purifying. And somehow or other it's purifying. It doesn't feel purifying. But anyway, we're accepting a burden on behalf of Krishna. And then I was watching this film last night of Prabhupada. It's very nice. I have this Remembering Prabhupada series on my computer, which I can share with anybody if they want, all the different videos, which some of you have at home. And they were talking about the opening of the Vrindavan temple. It's very interesting. And there are a lot of interesting things in that video, like Prabhupada would... Shrutakirti was... telling Prabhupada that Surab Maharaj, that was the architect for the temple, he did so much work, he did such a nice job, and Prabhupada said, everyone is saying that, but not me, because I'm his spiritual master, my duty is to chastise him. So, that was interesting in that respect. But apart from the topic, you know, that's not part of the topic today, but Prabhupada was... greeting all these important dignitaries who came to the temple for the opening. There was the governor of UP, who happened to be from South India, which was interesting. The governor of UP coming from South India. And so, but Prabhupada was extremely sick. He was extremely sick, you know, high fever and everything like that. And then Shrutakirti was telling the story that, Prabhupada just like during the day and then at night he just like collapsed. After the whole thing. So, anyway, so Prabhupada was undergoing austerities like that. And obviously when we're in this world, as Prabhupada comments, one does experience the pains of the body. It's not that a devotee, because he's Krishna conscious, is somehow or other like taking Novocaine, you know, has Novocaine on his body all the time. It's just like that. Or it's not exactly like driving a car because you do experience the pains. And Prabhupada, another time, Prabhupada was having this, they were putting a needle into his spine. What is that called again? Spinal taps. Prabhupada was having a spinal tap. And, you know, and that's extremely painful. I've never had it, but from the devotees who I've spoken to, they tell me it's extremely painful. And so, you know, they asked Prabhupada, is this painful? And Prabhupada, instead of saying, you know, just like, nah, I'm not the body, he said, we tolerate, which is actually quite interesting. So as long as one's utilizing the body, there is some, you know, pains that one experiences from the body. And so the question is, how do you deal with that? I mean, this is, it's hard. It's hard, you know, dealing with that, you know, waking up early in the morning, all those other things like that. One deals with that by the symptom of love, by thinking, you know, this pleases Krishna. You understand? Like I see sometimes that when someone loves their family, they're willing to undergo so much struggle and pain for their family. But the pain is there, for sure. So, anyway, so getting back to the point of this, but also you understand it's temporary. It's not going to go on forever, even though it seems like it's going on forever. It's not going to go on forever. So that's another way you could look at it. And in Buddhism, I often talk about this, that Lord Buddha actually ascertained in a psychological way. It's interesting that Buddha, as I mentioned on Sunday, never really preached against the existence of God. Although the Buddhists will tell you that in the sermon at Deer Park, that he preached against the existence of God, but he never preached against the existence of God. Because they term that sermon at Deer Park the sermon against, you know, I'm paraphrasing it, the non-existence of God. But he doesn't say anything like that in the sermon. They're just so anxious to deny God. So, but Buddha actually says, you know, material existence is the cause of the suffering. There's suffering, attachment, cause of the suffering, give up the attachment, give up the suffering. So, really, how do you give up the attachment? I mean, of course, he talks about the Eightfold Path, which is right living, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is basically putting yourself in the mode of goodness, which, to a certain extent, minimizes the suffering. Because when you're in the mode of goodness, you suffer less. When you're in the mode of passion, you suffer more than, you know, there's more anxiety, your money, acquiring things. In the Gita, it says you're bound by a network of anxieties in the mode of passion. And in the mode of ignorance, it's just suffering. You know, the mode of passion, then there's enjoyment, it's like nectar in the beginning, and it's like painful at the end. In the mode of ignorance, it's just suffering. So in the mode of goodness, yeah, there is some happiness in the mode of goodness. And of course, that happiness could be bewildering to the conditioned soul. As Krishna says, that happiness in the mode of goodness conditions one to that sense that everything is beautiful. So it's actually, in one sense, even more dangerous than the mode of passion and ignorance. Not in every sense, but in one sense, you know, it's just very, very dangerous. You know, just like you go and you see the sun, and oh, isn't it beautiful? The reddish when the sun is setting, and the lightning in the sky. You know, it's just it is very beautiful. So anyway, so that conditions one. So, but if you follow the path of Buddhism, as Buddha elaborated on it, you'll be in the mode of goodness. You won't transcend this material world. But at least it'll help you get to a higher, give you the platform by which you can jump up to a higher platform. So, really to get rid of the attachment, we have to understand ignorance. And let's look at the word ignorance. The word ignorance means to ignore something. Which is quite interesting. It doesn't simply mean illusion. You know, there's two different things. Illusion and ignorance are actually two different words. Or if one just like has some vision that doesn't exist. Ignorance means that you're deliberately ignoring something. So Prabhupada is using this word properly, as he always uses words properly, that we are ignoring Krishna. And the statement is Krishna Bahir Mukha. So the word Mukha is means face, you know, like Mukunda. Does anyone know what Mukunda means? It means giver of liberation, but it also means, there's two ways to understand it. Krishna has a beautiful face. So Krishna Bahir. Bahir means the outside. There's Antar and Bahir. Antar means inside, Bahir means outside. So we're turning our face literally away from Krishna. And of course that's sometimes described as envy too. So that's really what's causing us to be attached to this material world, to this material body and all the sources of misery that we're subjected to. So how do we get rid of this ignorance? And we're attached to the ignorance too. We're attached to the illusion. Just like the example, and I've used this before, that's in the works of Plato, where you have this cave analogy, that you have one person who gets out, you know, somehow or other, he gets out of the cave and sees the light. That's interesting, sees the light. He sees that there's a real world out there, you know, things are beautiful, there's colors and everything. And in the cave, all they're seeing is just like some light, and there's the flickering of the shadows there, and they're thinking, this is enjoyable. So they're very attached. So he comes back into the cave, because naturally, as Prabhupada comments in the end here, that therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities. That's interesting. Prabhupada doesn't say Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but he says to engage in welfare activities, to awaken the foolish living entities. So he comes back into the cave, and basically he's abused at that particular point. Not physically abused, obviously. It's interesting. You know, Plato wrote a lot of very interesting things, and even his Republic hints at Varnashram Dharma. You know, which is so the reason for that is they did have some connection with the Vedic culture. You have there's indications that the traders, they would go back and forth to India, and they would go through Athens and Greece, and they had some connection, just like Pythagoras, for example, who is most famous for the Pythagorean theory, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Literally ashrams, they called the Pythagorean cults. He had ashrams and they were vegetarians and everything like that. So Plato was influenced a lot by Indian culture. And Socrates, of course, Prabhupada said, was Brahman realized. Because he said when he was taking the poison that referring to the Athenian government who had forced him to take the poison, he said, they will never be able to catch me. In other words, he said, it's not me, basically. Paraphrase that. And so it's, anyway, so Plato wrote about this cave analogy. So this person goes back in the cave and he starts to tell people about the light, and they basically don't believe him and they abuse him, you know. So this is our condition. Hopefully we're going back in the cave to tell them about it, and hopefully we've seen the light. Who's Krishna? Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoya Andhakara. It's interesting, that whole Bengali verse is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoya Andhakara, that Krishna is the light, and the absence, and there's that word ignorance again, the absence of light is Maya, or illusion. So in other words, Maya or illusion. I know Maya has a real concrete existence too, you know, as far as the energy of Krishna. But in this particular verse, Maya is defined as the absence of Krishna. You know, darkness, like for example, darkness itself has no substantial reality. You can't say, turn on the darkness, of course they have black lights, I understand that, but those aren't dark lights, they're just things that make like white effulgent, isn't it? When I was young, I was a hippie, we used to have black lights all over my house. And you just turn them on, and it would look real cool, you know, everything would glow, and you'd walk around like that. But literally, you don't say, flip on the darkness, the switch, I mean, like that. It's not like that. You flip on the light, light gets rid of the darkness. It's not that you flip on the darkness gets rid of the light. You think about it. So the illusion or the ignorance is the absence of Krishna. It's very simple. The attachment is the absence of Krishna. So we just have to add Krishna in such a way in the beginning that people don't know that you're adding Krishna. That's a, like Prabhupada said, in like a pin, out like a plow. Prabhupada said, that's our preaching technique. Prabhupada said, another example Prabhupada gave is that you're going to visit someone in his house and they open the door a little crack. You say, can I speak to you? And then you put your foot in. And then after a while, you know, can I come in your house? You know, or he says, all right, you can come in your house. Can I sit down on your couch? And you sit down on the couch. And after a while, you start to slump a little bit. and you're laying down on the couch, and after a while you're taking over his whole house. So preaching Krishna consciousness is, it's like that. That, of course, is not trickery, obviously. We tell people the truth. But we just have to give people Krishna. We don't have to give people anything negative. You know, it's not that we're going out and telling people they're going to hell, you know, unless they accept Krishna consciousness. That's not our preaching technique. I remember one devotee, Mother Krishna Priya would remember him. He would recite this verse to people as he was distributing books, Vavid Vara Hostra Karai, Samskita Purusha Pashu, Nayat Karna Pato Peta, Jatu Nama Gadagrasha. And that verse, the translation is, those are like hogs, dogs, camels and asses. You know, don't recite the glories of Krishna, you know, they're Gadagrasha, you know, the one who holds the Gada, that's Krishna. And he says, you know, you're like a hog, dog, camel, or an ass. And that's Krishna says that. You know, don't blame me. So it really wasn't so effective. That was a Varnashram. Bless his heart. I mean, he's a great devotee. He used to distribute books. Actually, I loved him, and he died of diabetes because he was being treated in the wrong way by a devotee. Anyway, that's another issue. So the point is we just have to figure a way to give people Krishna, just like Haridas Thakur didn't preach to the prostitute, she just heard the holy names for 3 days. And that's another point. We have to have so much faith in these holy names, the names of Krishna, that if people just hear them, and somehow or other, of course, they have to be heard from the right person. Because we have this statement, Goloka Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. The chanting of Hare Krishna comes from Goloka Vrindavan. But it only comes from Goloka Vrindavan when the person who is transmitting it is connected with Goloka Vrindavan. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also Prabhupada said, it's not simply a movement of the lips and the tongue. So we have to be connected to be able to transmit. And then we find someone like Prabhupada who simply went to Tompkins Square Park and he chanted. You know, in the beginning he was going to all these yoga centers and everything like that, and basically almost nobody joined. You know, he's going to this impersonalist, what was the impersonalist's name?
Mishra.
Dr. Mishra. You know, he went up to upstate New York, where I was, anyway. I was skiing there, anyway, so Bear Mountain. So, and practically, you know, it was just very intellectual. The whole thing. And of course, he would argue with Dr. Mishra when Dr. Mishra spoke some nonsense about everything is one. But when Prabhupada simply sat in Tompkins Square Park and engaged people in chanting, the people became devotees. You know, it's very simple. Because the purification comes from engaging in Krishna's service. The main purification comes from engaging in the service of chanting the holy names. So as far as ourselves, we also have to apply this principle. You know, we're not going to become detached from the world just by understanding it's a dream. You know, if I just say, well, it's a dream, this body is a dream, my identification of this body with this body, with my nationality is a dream, and, you know, it doesn't help me. Even though it is pure philosophy, it helps me when I become attached to Krishna's holy name and Krishna's pastimes. That's really the point. So we should very much concentrate on our japa, our kirtan, japa, Krishna katha. All these things are actually so important, and if we don't, we'll go away. We'll remain an illusion. No matter how hard we work, you know, work for Krishna is important. I mean, it's extremely important to work for Krishna. But we have to concentrate on this Krishna katha. Krishna katha, that's the only method. Babhoshudo Shrotra Manobiramat. So talking about from the 10th canto, you got the first chapter, text 4. That Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamanat. That if you want to get rid of these miseries, which Prabhupada is talking about here, and in verses about this, Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamanat, The only way, the remedy, babo-shuti, shodra-mano-biramat, and to give yourself happiness, ka-utama-shloka-gunan-avadat, is to engage in glorifying Krishna. Uttama shloka means the person who is glorified in transcendental verses. Uttama shloka guna, qualities, and everything like that. Puman virajeta vina pashugnat. That's the last part. Puman. The only persons who won't be attracted to that are, you know, people who are eating meat. And that's why we also do preach about vegetarianism, because that's the statement. If someone is actually a killer of the animal, pashugnat, sometimes it translates as killer of the soul, but it generally translates as those who kill animals, pashugnat, or act like animals. So we do emphasize that, and that's why we have prashanam distribution and the holy names as our primary. Think about it. Our primary means of preaching is prashadam distribution and the holy names. Everything else is to get people to do those two things. And Prabhupada said, that's why Prabhupada says kitchen religion. Isn't it? Kitchen religion. So those are the two things Prabhupada, and of course book distribution to get people to chant. Chant and it's Krishna Katha, and that's the holy names in book form. We don't want to de-emphasize that. That's important too. So that's really what we should be, as far as ourselves and as far as others too. We should not be sentimental with ourselves. That's our main business. And then we work. We do some practical service, but our main business is hearing and chanting. It's not that you chant so you can get, you finish your rounds so you can do your real business. Like Prabhupada, you know, I always mention that story that Prabhupada was chanting his rounds and moved all his japa bead, all his counter beads down. And he said, now I've finished, I can do any damn thing. But that's our real business. In Krishna Hare. Everything else is secondary. Hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna Katha, hearing Krishna Katha. Anyway, so these are some important points. So that will get us out of this dreaming state, out of ignorance, ignoring Krishna. Because we can be in the Krishna consciousness movement and be ignoring Krishna. That's the problem. We're working real hard, we're ignoring Krishna if we're neglecting our hearing, chanting, remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmar. Those three things are the most important. Of all the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam and Kirtanam are the most important. And then Smarnam naturally arises. When you're hearing and chanting, then you remember. Just like I gave the example, you know, I was reading about some mundane news thing and I was Smarnam, I was remembering it in my dream. Can you imagine that? What if I die in such a state? You know, the dream, going back to Mexico or something like that. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
It's interesting. I looked up the etymology of ignorance.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the very beginning etymology, it comes from the Latin in, no, means no knowledge.
No knowledge.
Gyan.
Yeah.
So if we go back to the roots, we can see, you know, how ignorance is our intentionally not having knowledge.
It's the same thing as ajnana, I guess. Because it's a cognate.
Yeah.
Gnosis is a cognate of jnana.
Yeah.
So then you have no knowledge.
No knowledge.
No
knowledge. Actually,
the ignorance
against...
Yeah.
Not that there is no knowledge, actually. Opposition to ignorance.
Well, that's how it morphed into that, but the
originally was no knowledge.
And then later it became ignorant. But the original is no knowledge.
Not knowledge.
The original, going back to the very, very beginning of the word, it was
ignorant.
And then later on it becomes ignorant, which means to be ignorant or not to know.
Yeah, not to know. But then when you use that word, it means not to know something.
Yeah.
So what is it that you don't know? And that's Krishna. You know, so see, not to know, ajnana.
Ajnana
indicates that there must be some jnana.
Yeah.
If you say someone is without jnana or not having jnana, that means the jnana exists. And what is that jnana? The jnana is Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Krishna is everything. That's interesting. Thank you for that. So any other comments or questions? We have about half a minute. Om Gana Timirandasha. Same thing. Chakshur Militam Yet. You know, the spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Yeah, back to the cave. Yeah, he comes into the cave, like Prabhupada came into this cave. And he said, you know, get out. And we said, no, I'm happy here. And Prabhupada dragged us out of this cave. Okay, so on that happy note...